Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Happy OTAs, as OTAs started day one in the books for the Texans, where we've seen all sorts of things, including a massive different offensive lineman. They're true to this, man. The idea that they're going to move some guys around and
you're
find out
starter.
Who the best
You're a starter. You were talking about.
Yeah, everybody. You're a left guard, and you're a right guard, and you're a center, and you're a right tackle, and everybody's playing everywhere to some degree, except for, I think, a couple of notable exceptions, which is Cam Robinson stuck at left tackle, Titus Howard stuck at right guard. And those are the main ones. I feel like everybody else had a little bit of wiggle to them in moving around.
Yeah.
And we mentioned Andrews was kind of situated at center, the center that you brought in from New England. He was in that first lineup of guys. I don't know how much you want to make of that. C.J. Stroud did not throw today, which I think we're both in a place where we're not going to make too much of that, but it is interesting, I guess, in some ways. And as we knew, Joe Mixon not involved with any of these, but also Damian Pierce dealing with a little bit of rehabbing today as well. But let's talk about Will Anderson Jr. Is he more likely to hold the key to what you're trying to do this year than C.J. Stroud, the man who obviously was at practice but did not practice today? He was on the side. I think he had his helmet. I should have known when I saw a video of him
doing the toe cap.
Yeah, doing like toe taps and like out here just messing around. I was like, "Oh, you're not actually working today. You're not working today." Yeah. And not to say that like not to.
I mean, he's there.
Not disparaging him by any means, right? It's voluntary, but like you're not doing the thing that we were kind of coming expecting to see you do. Davis Mills took all those reps going to the one.
That's the franchise right there. So
Davis Mills?
No.
Oh, okay. So we both that was not a joke. We both thought that was you were.
That was look like I'm laughing.
Fair enough. Fair enough. But okay, Lopez, make this case here because I'm interested to see where you're coming from with Will Anderson Jr. Here.
Well, it's good to figure you said, you know, CJ is the franchise. He is absolutely positively.
Yes, CJ.
The franchise. He is the dude. But sometimes you get some thoughts in your mind. And
that's where thoughts live.
They kind of feel, thoughts in your arm. I get these thoughts in my elbow sometimes that you go, you know, it's not, it might sound dumb, but I think you could state the case that, as you put it, you know, who really holds the key to like a big year for the Texans this year? The obvious answer is C.J. Stroud.
Correct.
Because he's the franchise. He runs the whole show. He's going to have more on his plate this year.
That's right.
He's the quarterback. He has the ball. Okay, so that is obvious, right? He's going to hold the key. But there are a lot more questions. And the reason I started thinking about, you know, Will Anderson might be, you know, in that neighborhood because there are so many more questions on the offensive side of the ball that we've been talking about than the defensive side of the ball. And maybe I'm overthinking this. Tell me if I am.
It feels like it early. I'm just gonna keep it honest.
I'm glad you said that.
Early on, it feels like you are really, really
I'm glad you said that because the quarterback position and what CJ Stroud is gonna do this year is much more nuanced. There is a lot more of not only, you know, putting up numbers, but reaching another level in decision making, leadership, playing under pressure. the ability to run the entire offense. Like, there are so many things that have to happen that he has to do that is nuance, you know, that is not just go get the quarterback. And that's where I'm going with this, because one big sack from Anderson doesn't have to run the entire defense. He doesn't have to think for the entire defense. He doesn't have to, and I'm not downplaying, you know, his importance and his role. But what I'm saying is, if he gets, and he's, you know, stated, you know, the stated goal is double-digit sacks, and that's more than 11, which is what he had last year. Let's say he gets 15, you know, 16.
Okay, so let's say he possibly leads the league in sacks. Very good.
All pro will.
Well, the league leader was, what, 19?
I think it was 17 and a half, that and that was Trey Hendrickson.
But what I'm saying is,
a man who can't get
what's
his
up
team
with him and how he's doing.
Yeah. A man whose team refuses
ain't even
to
worth
give him
a damn contract extension.
Dude can't even get a burger at Hop Dottie right now.
Yeah, I feel sorry. I feel sorry for Will Anderson.
No, what I'm saying is, the path to being a next level elite, truly elite, recognized elite player is so much easier. Straightforward, not easier. Straightforward for Will Anderson. CJ Stroud's out here going to have to learn the offense, going to have to make some calls, going to have to, you know, make sure the ball gets distributed to the right places. You know, he's going to have to put up the numbers, but also make decisions. He's going to have to be a leader. He's going to have to do this. He's going to have to do that. Whereas Will Anderson, if he just reaches that next level, his path, I'll put it this way, to becoming a top five player is much more straightforward than CJ Stroud's.
Okay.
You know?
That's a different conversation than the one
that
we
set it up. And if he becomes a top five player, this defense is going to be all world.
Well, would you argue that he doesn't need to be a top five player in order for this defense to be all world?
Easily.
Though?
But what I'm saying, if he is a top five player, what's Danielle Hunter going to do? What is the secondary going to do? What is the secondary going to do for him? You know, in terms of Kamari Lassiter, and we know the drill here, Derek Stingley, all that. And he doesn't have to carry teammates like CJ Stroud does.
No, I think that everybody has their responsibility, and I think they handle it pretty well. I will, you know, in order to give Will more credit here, when we talk about leadership, that is usually the first name, actually, that comes out of folks' mouth when they talk about leaders on this team because of his personality and the way he goes about it. So I do think that leadership, it shows up. Now, obviously, you could point to the various other leader guys that happen that show up in big effect on the defense, where you talk about guys like Azeez Al-Shaair, you talk about, Danielle Hunter would not necessarily be leader guy in the way that you typically think about it, but he seems to be a lead by example type figure. But you've got guys that have, and I mean, now CJ Gardner-Johnson, or CD, as he wants folks to refer to him as, like, he seems to come in with a certain level of that, in that he stepped in immediately. You saw him working with Kamari Lassiter, just in some field, trying to get his technique together. So, like, I think that, there's some leadership roles in there. What do you need to see from him in order to have that level of step up into a top five circumstance? Because Pro Football Focus put out they ranked their top 32 ahead of the 2025 season of edge defenders. And when you talk about edge defenders, Will Anderson Jr. did not come in as high as I might have imagined.
He was nine, wasn't he?
He was ninth. Yeah. He came in ninth, sandwiched between Jared Verse of the Rams and Khalil Mack of the Chargers, behind the likes of Trey Hendrickson, Max Crosby, Aiden Hutchinson, Nick Bosa, T.J. Watt, Micah Parsons, Myles Garrett, right? What needs to happen in order for him to get into that better space, as you're talking about?
Well, I think that feeds into my point here. Like, not only is his defense better equipped than CJ's offense, which helps, you know, obviously, but it's very straightforward. It's sacks, tackles for loss, quarterback hits, you know, et cetera, tackles. Whereas, you know, if he just does what he's supposed to do, and he's helped by a better defense with Danielle Hunter, with the secondary, with the linebackers, et cetera, you know, I think it's pretty straightforward. And that's why it got me thinking, like, if he just reaches those numbers, and what the numbers are, we'll see. You know, I said 15. I mean, that would be next world. That would be top five, considering he's also going to get tackles for losses and quarterback hits and all that other stuff. Whereas I think he's not as dependent on things around him as CJ Stroud. He's dependent, don't get me wrong, because they have to play, but they're also more proven. Like, the question marks surrounding CJ Stroud with the offensive line, with the running back, with, you know, who's going to be the other receivers, you know, even though we have some prospects, I think they're more established.
I think for Will Anderson Jr., the question that you're having is, can he play all 17? That's the first thing, right? Like, the ankle injuries that he's dealt with. I mean, you could talk about that as being a real hindrance to him. 11 sacks in 14 games is, you know, what does that look like once you take that up to him playing 17 or 16 and impossible, considering that, you know, if all things go well and the defense is playing to the level that you expect and the offense has a resurgence, that you're likely not all that worried about week 18, right? Mm-hmm. What have you. But if he's playing 16 games, what does that look like there? Another thing that I'll point to, though, because you're kind of just talking about the progression of Will Anderson Jr., and I'd love to see him, you know, like have his, you know, have that not just the idea that he's pressuring, but like the idea that he, you know, makes this happen quicker. Or, you know, and, you know, and in addition to what you're talking about in just adding the, you know, that particular stat of sacks, how much could you possibly see growth indeed happen there with, you know, the speed rush and like the bend that he has off the edge? Because, I mean, that is a dude that had he accounted for a 17% quarterback percentage rate along with Danielle Hunter's 19%. Like they were, this defense was incredible at pressuring the quarterback. And one of the things that you also, I think that is kind of talked about is the idea of how defense year to year is one of those things that can be a little dicey. I don't think that we look at that this defense as that. However, reaching the heights that it felt like they, like the undeniable nature of this pass rush last year, is it going to be able to equal that exact same place? And will you be able to even push that to another level, right? Like, do you see another level actually being tangible for him in a way that, you know, demonstrates itself against teams? Because where do you go when you're in a place where it feels like you're almost at the ceiling?
And I'm glad you said that too. You guys are setting me up great today, by the way, with all the things I wanted to get out there, because we saw it. We saw the development. His last five games of the regular season, you know, not counting the playoffs and the game he was inactive, but his last five games, he had 5 of his 11 sacks. His last five games, he had 9 of his 19 quarterback hits. He got better at the end of the year. We saw it. We talked about it. The moves he was making, the development in terms of pass rush techniques and things like that. And so, yeah, I think we saw it. And oh, by the way, in the playoffs, 3.5 sacks, 5 quarterback hits. At the end of the year, he was appreciably better than he was at the beginning of the year. And so that's also feeds into, yeah, I could see him taking that step.
Okay, so the idea of just him having the path to that elite level, just more clear than what you're even talking about, even with the C.J. Stroud, which makes sense. C.J. Stroud is also dependent on the apparatus that failed him last year, right? He's dependent on, is that apparatus fixed? There's more questions outside of him, which is what you're talking about. Yeah, it just feels like as long as Will is healthy and on the text line, they say put him in those primetime games in order to show it off.
Yeah.
That's all you need in order for him to be amongst those guys that we're talking about. Like amongst the guys that were, you know, the Max Crosby's, Trey Hendrickson's, and of course, talking about some of the guys even higher, like the TJ Watts of the world and such, Aiden Hutchinson, Nick Bosa, what have you. If you do end up in a place, because you threw out the number 16 with Will Anderson Jr., what is that like? Does Danielle Hunter, do you see a level of decline there? Do you feel like this is just one of those things where they cannibalize each other? Is there a way for them to get even more?
I mean, they would have to a degree, you would think, right?
Maybe.
But Danielle Hunter, what if they have the bookends, you know, that all of a sudden take it to another? And oh, by the way, the other thing that Will Anderson does not have to do that C.J. Stroud does is learn a new system. You know, we just heard D'Amico Ryans, new terminology, new scheme, all this other stuff. Will Anderson is set with, you know, with D'Amico's system.
Is there any way in which, I was going to say, I was like, they just can't see it because D'Amico Ryans loves his rotation. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to continue to get some of these other guys in there, your Barnetts of the world, Darrell Taylor, who comes in. You're going to get that rotation in. And that's all. And honestly, another thing that's kind of incredible that these guys have been able to be this good with also with how much D'Amico Ryans and Matt Burke place on having that rotation in. Yeah, I'm excited to see what this year holds for Will Anderson Jr. and what this means for the money that he'll ultimately come back around. Like, does that all.
That's kind of important, too.
Does that all concern you? Because, like, I mean, not that in any way that I want to compare the Texans to the Bengals, but the Bengals are in this place where they're like, hey, we'll take care of you. And then the money got so exorbitant that they started tugging at their collar. Do you have any of those concerns at all? Or are you very much just in a place where whatever the money is, it's fine, throw it at them and you'll be good?
I'm confident that they've been planning this since the day they drafted him. You know, he being Nick Cassero, really good at paying these guys early. I would expect him to get paid. You know, we'll see about C.J. Stroud. But, you know, I think that he's obviously going to get paid, too. But, no, I really – one thing about me and the NFL salary cap, it never bothers me unless it's just outrageous, like the Saints or something. People always wring their hands, you know, over the NFL salary cap. And what happens every year? It gets figured out. It gets figured out. There are people in every NFL building whose entire job is to work the salary cap and figure it out.
Well, some of the figuring out is trimming fat. I think for me, the way that I view it is
what I'm talking about. Yeah,
the years in which. Yeah. The way I view it is you spend the money when you're going, right? Like you max out the credit cards when you need them, right? And when you are pushing for something, which it feels like the Texans are, which brings me to the idea of, yeah, I don't think I'd be worried about it. Do pull the levers, have the void years on the back end. The problem is, and I think especially with like the Saints, right? The thing that they did not do is when you don't have a real opportunity to contend, right. that's when you pay off the debt.
There are always outliers and the Saints is one.
Right, and so yeah, I think that's how I view it. Is there's going to be instances where you have to use your maneuvers in order to go above what the salary cap actually would be, and obviously not actually above it, but you know, use your different things to push money into future years. And then you actually take your licks in the moments where you go, all right, we had our window, we contended, and now we're in a place where we're not contending as much. This is when we eat. We make good on those promises. And right now you are in a hearty time where it's time to push. So yeah, Will Anderson Jr. excited to see what this year does. I really do hope that he plays so well that you have to set the market.
Absolutely.
Like I play that. I hope that he plays. Cause if that's the case, I can only imagine what the rest of the teams in this league look at when they go up against and they see the Texans defense on the other side of it.
Yeah.
All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's do our lunchtime confessions, which are presented by the Men's Clinic. We will do that next.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 orders. Service fees apply for 3 orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
All right, a lot of levels to this confession, Figgy. A lot of levels to this confession, Reggie. You got to pay attention. I did something.
Wait, you think I typically don't pay attention? Is that what you're implying? I don't appreciate
that. Pay special attention. I did something yesterday that I haven't done ever in my entire life, and that was I wrote a strongly worded email.
Oh, wow. You're that guy.
I became that guy yesterday.
Wow.
But there's several levels. I think I'm in the right.
Karen Phillip Lopez. All right. Man.
To the city of Houston. I wrote a strongly worded email to the city of Houston. There's this house in my neighborhood behind us that is got holes in the roof. It's got boards on the wall. It's been abandoned. The weeds.
Why do you keep talking about the Astrodome, man? Come on now.
It makes the Astrodome look like the Taj Mahal. It's got weeds that are 6 and 7 feet high. It's got and the reason I wrote the letter is we've had rats come up by our yard. We had those rats in the attic back
a while back.
We've had raccoons wandering around behind our fence. We've had possums. Snake came into our yard, and that was the final.
Yeah, the snake can do it. The snake can do it.
Raccoon's cool. Rat's cool. Snake, nah.
Here's the thing. I wrote this strongly. I have it in front of me.
To who?
To the Neighborhoods Department of the City of Houston. I wrote a strongly worded
email. I wouldn't
email.
Even know who to go to.
Yeah.
Like, this man looked up who to snitch to. That's wild.
I did. I thought it was good. I mean, I'm not going to read it, but I thought it was good. And this morning, I got a response from the City of Houston. Good morning, Mr. Lopez. I put my name on it. I didn't go anonymous. You could go anonymous, but I put my name on it. Please be advised that no recent inspections or requests have been reported until yesterday. The last inspection on this home was in 2019.
Good Lord.
The Code Enforcement Division will be inspecting it. And please keep an eye out for a yellow placard, which will indicate that the initial inspection has taken place. So that's part of the confession. I did that. The second part is, should I be worried about maybe a little
retribution? Yeah. Yes. Yes. Clearly.
Do you think that person on the other side of the email, some guy named John Lopez?
I don't know if they'll do that, but this house has been abandoned probably since 2019, but at least the 3 years that we've been there. And it is nasty. It is nasty. And holes in the roof, holes in the little shed. Like I said, all these animals everywhere. The weeds and trees are overgrown. It's nasty.
So what do you want them to do? You want them
Make
to tear
him
it down?
Clean it up. Make them clean it up or tear it down. Either one.
Okay.
Yeah. Am I out of line?
I mean, you know what's funny? I was just thinking about the fact that I don't actually think that you're wrong, like, in that, man, something needs to be done about that.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out, if the person was unwilling to, like, upkeep their house, will they get the notice from the city, and will they actually,
Will they actually figure it out?
Or will they just be in a place where,
especially,
like, I do not
Especially if the house
care.
Look like that.
Right.
Because clearly they ain't trying to fix it up or sell it.
Or do they maybe not even have the wherewithal wherever they actually
are? I mean, it's collapsing on itself.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you had the time to do that.
Because sometimes
I can't find nothing in the first 5 seconds, I'm just like, oh well, it is what it is.
I feel like what Lopez is gonna get is a really big eyesore with a condemned sign on it. I think that's all that's gonna happen.
And then they'll never clean it up.
And then it'll just never happen. And all you did is that you're gonna come back around and have
probably find somebody. Unfortunately, we could not find the owners of this house, so there's nothing we can really do about it.
They have to have a record of it, right?
Sure.
They have to.
Somebody said, dang, J-Lo, you sure you don't live in the hood?
Well, it's in transition. It's in transition.
That's a nice neighborhood. I didn't even know it was an abandoned house over in your neighborhood.
Right behind. Well, I shouldn't say that. But behind our house.
Yeah, Lopez, just go ahead and get your money. You know, you got all that money. Just go ahead and buy that up.
That was going to be my next question. Is it a good fixer-upper?
Yes.
Just go ahead and buy it up.
Or is it, or is it just tear down and just build $1 million?
It would be Vrbo or Airbnb.
You know what it is? I just found Lopez's reality show. You know, what is it? One of them flipping shows. Go ahead and get that. Yeah. Love it or list it or what have you. Go ahead and do that. Lopez about to be the Property Brothers in here.
Set it on fire. I don't want to go crazy now.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
All right, so I know he does not play for this team anymore, but Stephon Diggs is a personality and a half. So Patriots have started their OTAs. All the teams in the NFL, I believe, as of today, have begun OTAs. And, of course, remember, they're voluntary, and you might be surprised to find out that Stephon Diggs volunteered to not go because he was seen on video, notably.
He wasn't watching tape.
I don't believe he was, unless tape is the name of one of the one of the ladies that he was chatting up on the boat that he was out there with.
He was
with.
Out there kikiing with him.
Mind you, he seems to have gone public with his relationship with Cardi B. So that was a lot of conversation. And people were like, oh, he out here flirting with these girls while he's with his lady. And I actually, I got to confess, I don't think he was doing nothing wrong. First and foremost, in the video that I saw, which again is not the end all be all. However, it's not the end-all, be-all for any of the people that he was saying he was actually flirting. Mm-hmm. It didn't seem like he was doing anything that I would go to the point of actually stepping out on his lady. It just felt like he was on the boat talking to a group of women that happened to be around him. But I feel wild because this is Stephon Diggs and he has a reputation, and I feel like I am operating opposite his reputation. And if you took his reputation into account, you'd probably say he was probably talking and flirting with these girls.
Yeah, I think I kind of agree with you on this a little bit, because I feel like if this is a boat, mind you, Cardi B was on the boat too.
Yeah.
And some of them same girls that he was kikiing with, they were twerking with Cardi B.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing she was fine with all of the women that was on that boat. It wasn't like he took off without her.
I don't know how many women are fine with seeing that.
I feel like, hey, this is a different type of woman.
Yeah.
I would say that. This is a different type of woman. So maybe she was fine with it. But it was a little crazy that they was all around his neck. And I think they was calling him daddy and all this other stuff. So I was just like.
Of course they were calling him daddy.
That was them.
And allegedly, they had some pink cocaine.
Yeah, that's the rumor anyway.
Oh, I didn't see none of that. Yeah, I didn't see none of that.
I seen that. So I don't know who it came from.
Is that why Mike Vrabel, the new head coach of the Patriots, had to put out a statement?
That's what I was going to say. The only pushback I'll have on your point, because you're right. It was Stephon holding court, Stephon being Stephon.
Just an effervescent personality.
But you know, you can interpret effervescent. But I'm with you.
He was bubbly for a reason is what you're saying here. Are you making allegations?
I can understand your confession and be down with it by and large. The only pushback, only problem I might have with it is they're having OTAs right now. And he's missing OTAs and posting this video. And Mike Vrabel, as you said, did have to answer a question about it. He said, we want to make great decisions on and off the field. Can't sit well. Cannot sit well.
Yeah. Now, did he actually post this picture?
Somebody did.
I don't think he was trying to post like, hey, I'm out here kicking it.
Yeah.
Screw OTAs. But I think they kind of lit up the block a little bit by posting some of that stuff.
All right. So. Let's do the thing. Let's do the, hey, this is voluntary, but we're still going to see if we judge or not. Are you judging him for not being at OTAs? Because it is worth remembering that he's still on the road to recovery when it comes to this. I don't know.
He looked fine to me.
However, I mean, that's the thing that we all do in sports where we go, you look like you can walk. And it's like, yeah, but doing that versus the athletic portions of these is different. However, OTAs is for more than just like, hey, getting out here and get your body right, which is getting used to a system. By the way, one that he is new to. And he is not there, like...
That too.
Do you hold this against him for not being out there?
Yeah, I would probably judge him for this one, man. Like, bro, like, if you ain't gonna be here, don't be on... Don't be... you know, chilling on a boat like
don't be
that.
Having vacation during the summer.
No, this is a little rough.
His nose in the playbook.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm just saying, I don't want to see you on the boat looking like y'all having a freak off or something.
Nobody does. It might not be accurate because he may have his nose in the playbook, you know, the entirety of the other 23 hours. But
yeah, he's been in the league long enough, so I'm sure he know how it go, but damn.
The only bad look that I point to is, hey, man, if y'all really did have some booger sugar over there, that should not show up on the video ever. Yeah.
It was clear as day, too, to the point people was like, is that pink cocaine?
That should not show, like, I bet Mike Vrabel was over there like, are you for real right now, bro? Are you for real right now? But yeah, other than that, I don't think he did nothing wrong. Free my man, Stephon.
I got to confess, I don't know if this is a marketing thing or what, but for some reason, I'm on Facebook, you get a lot of the people you may know.
Yeah.
I've been seeing a lot of athletes just randomly on Facebook as like a regular person. Like the other day, I seen Myles Garrett.
Mm-hmm. Like as a friend?
It looked like a real account, yeah.
Did you friend him?
I did. And apparently he accepted my friend request.
I wonder if that's a real account.
It's going to be a scam.
No, last week, I got a text from a friend of mine, and she was like, look, Jalen Hurts liked my comment. And I was like, what? And I looked at the account, and it has some numbers behind it. And I'm like, I don't want to, you know, rant on your parade.
No, this one didn't have...
No numbers, straight up Myles Garrett.
Yeah, I seen like some... Like, I seen Christian Covington.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Like, he had one, and you could tell it was him. But I'm starting, it's like a lot of random, like, I wonder if this is a marketing thing, kind of like what Antonio Brown do what Antonio Brown do with Twitter a little bit. Because,
oh, you mean from the actual Myles Garrett?
Yeah. I wonder if people are like hiring or players are hiring people to kind of run a Facebook account just to kind of stay active a little bit.
Maybe.
Because it's starting to freak me out a little bit.
I'm leaning towards
because
spam.
I thought Facebook was dying out a little bit,
mm-hmm.
But it seemed like it's kind of popping a little more now.
Yeah. Somebody said Figgy's showing his age. Here we go. They saying you getting catfished out here, baby.
How much y'all want to bet, man?
I don't know.
I know a lot of scam accounts, but this one it seemed like it's like a lot of random ones. It's not like the obvious LeBron James or anything like that, but it's been like a lot of random Facebook people you may know that don't usually pop up.
All right, so I want to take this bet. I just don't know how we actually adjudicate it, right? Like, do you hit the man up on the supposed Myles Garrett and be like, hey, is it you for real? Like, I don't know how we adjudicate this, but I would take your bet here. I put $20 down.
All right.
I just don't know how we figure out how to do it. I will put $20 down.
So if I find one that's legit, then you owe me $20.
What you mean one that's the one that you? No,
my confession was I feel like it's a marketing thing behind this because I've been seeing a lot of random NFL players that say people you may know.
I think the marketing thing is people like having accounts that people that have a lot of people attached to them, so they use a familiar face that people might jump to, which is including athletes.
Another one I've seen, Debo Samuels.
Debo Samuel, huh?
Like it's random as hell.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you are a little bit of a celebrity yourself. They might just be like, "Oh man, Figgy." Yeah,
I have no celebrity compared to these guys.
Got
to
get in on that. You could be invited to a party, man.
From the 281, I got one from Sam Darnold 2 weeks ago. 713, Figgy's gonna have Nev visiting him. Okay, all right. Yeah, so I'm sorry, Figgy. I have to burst your bubble. I don't think that's the real.
You gonna owe me $20?
We'll see.
I think it's a marketing thing behind this.
We'll see. I don't know how we figure it out, but I hope we do soon. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, is college football on its way to another massive change? Because it feels like the answer is yes. Let's talk about that next. Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Does it feel like college football is going to change in a major way once again? Because it does seem like that to us. 713-572-4610. This week has been a very interesting one with a lot of movings and shaking. There's been a lot of conversation amongst the principal actors when it comes to these conferences and the NCAA. When it comes to the college football playoff, which is really that's been built up as the singular kind of focus for the football season. And what is going to happen with automatic qualifiers is a big portion of this. And I think that this has ended up being a proxy for a level of power struggle for how much power certain conferences, and namely the big ones, when we talk about the Big Ten and the SEC, how much power they're going to be able to lord over the remainder of these conferences, right? There's been conversations about obviously the 16-team playoff and how what that would look like, and how you get to that place, but also conversations as to what the automatic qualifiers would be. I know that in one instance, there's been some teams or some programs rather that have wanted there to be something like a 4-4-2-2-1 circumstance where you have four automatic qualifiers from the two kind of most major of the conferences, where you talk about the SC and the Big Ten, then two automatic qualifiers from the other of the Power Four conferences in the ACC and the Big 12, and then maybe one from one of these other G5s, and then having the rest of them be at large bids. And there's also been conversations about a 5+11 model that other conferences have been more acclimated to or more inclined towards. And so I guess, Lopez, for you, what are you looking at when it comes to this power struggle that seems to begin happening in college football with the playoff?
See, I really don't think there is a power struggle. I think the people in power are sort of kind of soft peddling it, because it's the Big Ten and the SEC and TV. That's the power. The NCAA doesn't have the power. The other conferences don't have the power. They fall in line and argue if they for their own case as best they can. But the power is the Big Ten, the SEC, and television. I'm kind of in a place right now where let's just stop the charade. And it's maybe charade's a little bit too harsh, but they've gone to NIL. Obviously, that changed the game. They went to the playoff. That changed the game a little more. They expanded the playoff. That changed the game even more. And now they're sort of limiting. They're going to go by rankings rather than automatic conference bids, et cetera. Just go to the 16-team playoffs, because we know what it is. It's the minor leagues. It's the big powers in college football running the show. So why don't you just go ahead and rip the Band-Aid off and go down that road? Because I think what ultimately is going to happen is happening. Like people really want to see a 16-team bracket, and so why hesitate to do that? Greg Sankey talked about it. By the way, the Big Ten meetings and the SEC meetings are going on this week, right now.
Yeah,
and I feel like that's a big discussion. Sankey's already floated the idea publicly of a 16-team playoff, and I just feel like if you're going to do it, just go all in and do it. That's what I think.
I mean, I think that everybody's moving towards the 16-team playoff. I think the big hang-up is, what is it ultimately going to look like? Mm-hmm. And I think within that, the power struggle is who is going to accumulate this money? Because just like in the NCAA men's basketball tournament, right? Mm-hmm. Depending on how many teams you get in, that's what the revenue is for the conferences. And just like with anything, if you follow it to its ultimate end, it's about the money, right? Mm-hmm. What is the money that's going to be brought in? And that's why, like, these automatic qualifiers and trying to get, even straight seating, right, is this circumstance where the outcomes are going to dictate and the number of teams and the outcomes are going to dictate how much money flows to various conferences. Mm-hmm. And what's very clear is the SEC and the Big 12, specifically SEC, as their commissioner, Greg Sankey, has talked in very dismissive ways and very, very strong ways about, various different things that point to the idea of they believe that they should be garnering more and more of this money. But this is, what college football had existed for the longest time, especially in the NCAA, as this large group project where everybody's putting in, and we all kind of have this general culture, and it feels more and more like the Big 12, the Big Ten, rather, and the SEC, more importantly, are trying to get to this place where they're boxing out the likes of the Big 12, the ACC, and honestly, all those other power conferences to get themselves, or really the other conferences in general, to get themselves to a place where we're moving to where they view themselves as the what makes college football. They are college football, and everybody else can play this other thing.
But it's the reality, and I don't mean to be harsh to the pick your favorite conference, but the thing is, you talk about how they shared the revenue streams, and they all the conferences got little pats on the head and were invited to the party, but they weren't carrying the weight. Look at what games, what leagues carry the weight. It's the Big Ten. It's the SEC. And, to the point where he's also floating this idea, which frankly, I love, you know, college football is not what it once was. And you have to just admit that and realize that, it's a power program.
Well, I think that that negates how we got to that, right? The idea of just, we'll just admit that this is where it is. How did we get there was these powers forcing it in this direction. Yes. And then now once you've gotten to this place going, well, we're here, so just deal with it. Well, that's the reason that we're here is that the likes of ESPN and the SEC and as well, like they've pushed this to where the sport has focused on just these games at the very top, just these teams at the very top, and these particular teams in these spaces where we talk about the SEC and the Big Ten. And then we're pushing away all these other things that culturally in college football had mattered until we've kind of forced this thing in this way. These are the words of Greg Sankey, the commissioner of SEC, saying, quote, "I don't need lectures from others about the good of the game. Coordinated press releases about the good of the game. I'm looking for ideas to move us forward," right? And I think that you can look at that and say, okay, yes, he's trying to be, you know, better the game, but he's trying to better the game for a very small select portion of these teams. And I think that it makes it more, I hear you on the idea of like this national spectator sport, but it serves to really push out what has been a large portion of this. And I think college football is not, I think as a consumer product has been, yes, about, you know, the big programs, the Alabamas, what have you, the USCs, the LSUs. But as like to the intimate folks, like if whatever school you went to, your college program meant something to you, right? Like the idea that, and this is not college football particularly, but this is college sports, which is going to affect all of this. The idea that Kansas State just got a huge transfer from Memphis, that meant something to me this week, right? And of course, I can't talk about this in this space because we're going to focus on the top end of it. But this serves to, I think, continue to box in college sports is just another professional sport as all these other professional sports have existed. And I think for me, I understand it's going to continue. I'm not talking about like the existential existence of college football. It'll continue to exist. It'll continue to be interesting. I'll still watch it. So, I mean, maybe I'm hypocritical in this way, but I think the thing that made college football special was that it operated in this different place, like almost like international soccer, where you had your local club and that mattered to you.
Sure.
And you had different levels of achievement and that mattered to you. And it was just this thing that was quirky and was weird. And in the ways that the SEC and the Big Ten and ESPN and these TV partners continue to push it, we're making it junior NFL, which is fine, but it's, I don't think that it is as special as what college football
has. No, there is a somewhat of a sad, frankly, element to it. But I think in the grand scheme, you know, these teams the in the smaller conferences or maybe smaller programs or whatever, they're not being eliminated from the opportunity to compete at that level.
But they are. Effectively, they are.
Effectively, they are in a general sense. But if you put together a budget, if you enhance your program, if you build a team in the Big 12 or whatever conference you want to pick, and they can reach a high level, then they're going to be in that tournament.
How do you put together the budget, Jean Lopez?
That comes to them down to the universities. No, that's what I'm saying. Television money from
where's television money come if the powers that are continuing are going to continue to rig this is probably strong, but continue
but
to kind of operate this in a place.
Money. U of H, Kansas State, they're still getting television money. They still have big alums. I've said it for years. Pick your favorite school, Cornell, for God's sakes. There are really rich people there that if they commit to the program can elevate it.
But as always, the stratosphere, right? Like we're talking about stratospheres and those programs have it, but then the big programs have that as well. And if you continue to get to this place where you orchestrate these like the playoff where a majority of this TV money, again, you've concentrated the importance of this sport on the playoff. So the playoff is going to generate even more money. And if you continue to focus it to where, hey, we're going to have a system, right, or a format that then allows more and more of these SEC teams, more and more of these Big Ten teams, you're going to continue to have this money circle around and filter around into this small alcove of the riches, the rich, and the rich will get richer, and then the poor will get poorer, and you'll continue to see that gulf go, that chasm grow, until it really is just the SEC and the Big Ten as college football and the rest of everybody playing something that
but
looks
see,
very different.
I guess that's where I'm falling on this. As much as these other programs, smaller conferences, smaller programs, you know, you can maybe elevate your game. The reality is you have not carried your weight. And do we, you know, is it unfair to them? Yes. But isn't it also unfair to big schools and big conferences that are carrying the entire, you know, industry and still sending, you know, and these others still kind of feeding off of that?
I mean, I would
like they're paying the freight.
I would push back on the idea of carrying the weight, because I think that when it comes to especially the playoff, again, if the, ultimately what we're talking about, people gain entertainment from these other programs, these quirky programs being here as mm-hmm. well. Like, mm-hmm. I think that there's a level of entertainment gain. And ultimately, in theory, that is what generates this as an interesting platform. But again, this is kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy, because we are the ones that will get into this place where once we're deciding these, you know, these outcomes, or like deciding these playoff fields, mm-hmm. we go, well, who's going to travel? Who's going to make people interested? And the fact of the matter is, good football makes people interested, but mm-hmm. then we tell ourselves that people will only be interested in good football if Alabama is in there.
No, that's fair. And that does happen. But there are also teams that can ultimately get into another conference, and that falls on the programs themselves. Washington State, all these others, they dropped the ball. You know, they flat out dropped the ball. It's on these universities to be able to, you know, build their own program, build the funds, build the footprint for their program to compete at that level, rather than somebody else carrying the weight for them.
And the fact of the matter is that those, and look, geography is going to matter, and there are some programs that are bigger than others. I'm not going to pretend like that doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, we're trying to put the onus on the little guy here when the people that have created the system are the big programs and the big conferences that are ultimately then saying, well, why aren't you doing bigger? It's because you've kind of set up the system in a way to be a self-fulfilling prophecy. And this furthers us towards this end game that I understand. I talk about a lot, right? Because this is something that I've thought about a lot when it comes to college sports. But this college football playoff, automatic qualifier, it really is just what the automatic qualifiers are, but I think it is indicative of a larger push that college football has been making over the last decade or mm-hmm. so towards this place where we're going to have the haves and have-nots become so much bigger in this sport.
No, but we've always had the haves and the have-nots. They've just always had the opportunity to maybe capture lightning in a bottle and have a big year here and there.
And you're always going to have haves and have-nots, but I think it is necessary to have a diverse kind of field of schools all the way across, and it feels like we're pushing it to where the haves and have-nots will just be the haves and the people who don't exist.
Well, no, I don't see that ever happening. I think there's still going to be other conferences, other opportunities to be able to maybe enter the playoff, but what you are going to lean to is maybe two conferences of 32 teams or something like that. That's 64 teams. That's opportunity if you can invest in your own program.
Yeah, but we're dealing with the sport that has been 200 and something teams, and at least, you know, a good 80, 90 that have had some level of intrigue to the larger public. Mm-hmm. I think that's the thing that we lose over the long stretch of things. In the short term, I mean, whether you want a 4-4, 2-2-2, or you want a 5+1, I think people are always going to be clamoring for
and by
more
the way,
college football.
It is coming.
Oh yeah, it is because coming. Again, you follow the money, and the money the money dictates that it's better to have more inventory on these games, even though you're going to have kids playing a damn near an NFL schedule, right? Mm-hmm. All of those other factors of this, the potential amateurism, the protection of the players, all these things continue to fall at the side of can the SEC, can the Big Ten, can these programs mm-hmm. make more and more money? All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's return back to Texans OTAs. What was your big takeaway from day one? What are you hoping to see from day two? Let's talk about that next.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new Spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.